Psychotherapy is becoming part of everyday life for more and more Irish people. But how do you know the therapist you're seeing is properly trained? And with new regulations on the way, some in the profession are warning that the standards may actually be falling and that clients could be put at risk. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Shane Beattie. Today we're taking a deep dive into psychotherapy in Ireland, what it is, how people train, who regulates them, and why new standards proposed by CAREW, the Health and Social Care Regulator, have sparked a storm of concern among professional bodies. Here is CAREW's Claire O'Cleary outlining those standards for counselling and psychotherapy, speaking to Claire McKenna on News Talk's Alive and Kicking.
We have two sets of standards. We have the standards of proficiency for both professions, and that really talks about the knowledge, skills and competence of those professions in terms of what they should be able to demonstrate and how they should be able to work with the service users when they join the register. And then the second set of standards we have are in the criteria for the education programmes, and that's very much about how education programmes design and deliver their programmes. And what I would always say is it's ensuring the quality system in the education programme, that every graduate of that programme meets the standards of proficiency and have that competence to work with service users.
And we'll hear more from Claire later in the podcast. But first, let's talk to two people who work in the field of psychotherapy to get their perspective on training and regulation and explore what it means for anyone seeking therapy today. Joining me today are psychotherapists Belinda Muller and Mary Cullen. And Belinda is also chair of the board of the Irish Council for Psychotherapy. You're both very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm getting a free therapy session here with both of you in with us. Belinda, if I could start with yourself, first of all, I'll ask you the obvious question, which is, what is psychotherapy?
Well, psychotherapy is the response to emotional suffering through talking and listening and through the use of developing a therapeutic relationship between a therapist and a client. There is a special emphasis on the unconscious in psychotherapy and for psychotherapists. This is based on the belief that many of our patterns of behaviour, our feelings, sometimes things happen for reasons that we're not aware of. How many times, for instance, have you said to yourself, gosh, how did that happen? Why did I do that? How was it that all of those things occurred out, kind of almost out of my awareness? I wasn't expecting these things to happen. So for most people, those questions probably can be answered with a bit of time. But for some people, those questions can't be answered. And patterns and repeated behaviours can have really serious consequences and become very, very difficult to live with.
So they would show up maybe again and again in your life.
Exactly, because we tend to repeat these things, particularly when we don't have full awareness of why they've happened in the first place.
So a lot to do with feelings and awareness then, is that fair to say?
And patterns of behaviour and feelings and thoughts, yes, exactly, okay. That can lead to unhappiness and a feeling of suffering.
Yes. Mary, can I ask you on those sort of problems maybe that would bring a person to psychotherapist in the first place, what kinds of situations are we talking about?
Well, it's very broad. It could be anything, actually. We see a lot of anxiety nowadays. People seem to be more in touch with anxiety. Of course, anxiety is part of the human condition and we all have to live with it. But on the other hand, sometimes it can be overwhelming. So that's a broad reason why people might come. But other than that, there may be something happening in their lives at a particular time. I'll give one small example. Someone may have had a baby, for instance, and find that their life is quite different to what they might have anticipated before that, and that they're perhaps having some issues bonding with their baby, or that they themselves are finding it very lonely and it is evoking some issues for them from their own experience of being mothered and now a mother.
Yeah.
And that's another example. Someone may be suffering from mental illness of some kind that has happened, if which can happen to anybody. And I think there's much more awareness nowadays that people suffer very much and that that can be manifested in the mental as well as in the physical. And in fact, psychotherapy can help a little with the physical as well, because sometimes we manifest issues in different ways in the body without realizing that, in fact, if we spoke to someone about what was happening for us in our lives, that I'm not saying it can get rid of them altogether in the physical way, but it can ameliorate the conditions.
It feels like everyone has a therapist now. I know we used to say this about people in America, but even in Ireland, are you noticing a spike in people seeking out therapy?
I think there is. There are so many people working in psychotherapy centres now, where a number of therapists are available to them and a choice. And then some people work in their own private practice. So there is a spike, but then we have to ask ourselves, why is that? What's happening in the culture at large?
What do you think is the answer
to
that?
Well, we were having a chat about this earlier on, Belinda and myself, and we think there have been so many changes in society. Now, I know there always is. That's, again, part of what happens in life. But the kind of things that we may have taken for granted in the past, which were a framework in some ways for living our lives, be they good or be they bad, so many of those have altered and have changed.
Okay,
and people can take things for granted, I think, in a way that was predictable in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belinda, would you agree?
I would agree, but I would also say that there is a lot of anxiety and information about the waiting list in the public sector. And amongst all age groups, but it's particularly focused on young people waiting for assessments and so forth. So one of the reasons psychotherapy and the Irish Council for Psychotherapy has been calling for regulation for over 30 years is to try to increase the number of psychotherapists being employed in the public sector and improving that capacity of the public sector to be able to offer psychotherapy within the public sector. So I don't know if there's a spike or if there is a lot of information being released about waiting lists that has created concern. And definitely there's a lot more public interest in psychotherapy and more interest in doing psychotherapy. And, you know, it's represented on drama constantly, frequently.
Yeah, that's true. Can you specialise in areas? Like, do you have special areas you work in psychotherapy?
Yes. So I'm a group psychotherapist.
Okay.
Yeah. And I divide my time between group psychotherapy and also various types of organisational support, particularly focusing on supporting leaders and organisations in complex settings like schools and in the public sector.
Did I see as well that you also specialise or work in the area of grief therapy?
Yes. Yeah. Well, all psychotherapists would be trained to work with grief. Grief is a normal human experience, but sometimes grief, the loss of somebody special and close, and family or a friend, can result in feelings that feel that the grief is never going to go away, or that something else has occurred alongside it. Psychologists call it complex grief. And all psychotherapists would be trained to work with grief,
right,
in my experience.
Yes. Mary, let's talk about anxiety, because a lot of people talk about anxiety now. That's an area you specialise in. Are you noticing a lot more awareness of anxiety?
Yes, I think people are becoming more aware of anxiety because, of course, nobody likes the feeling of being anxious, so we tend to push it down. But in so many ways, our approach is not to push it down, but rather to go into it and to begin to examine where might this be coming from? What is it about? What triggered that particular episode? Why am I, as Belinda said earlier, experiencing a series of mishaps or whatever it might be?
Yeah.
Because so many of that may have to do with a repressed issue of some kind that is in the unconscious that we don't know about, which we can actually begin to know about. There are ways of working with the unconscious. So I work in psychoanalysis as an individual psychoanalyst as well as a group analyst. And on the trainings, I suppose it's very important to say that the people who do both of those trainings, their training is absolutely experiential.
Okay. People might be wondering, what's the difference between psychology and psychotherapy when it comes to training?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm working from my psychology colleagues, of which I have many, and psychology colleagues who've also trained as psychotherapists. Psychology is the study of human behaviour. It's the study of thoughts, of patterns of behaviour, of emotions and feelings and situations that people end up in. Psychologists, crucially, are trained to diagnose, to intervene, to assess, to interview and to survey these psychological conditions. They're also trained to provide treatment plans, to be able to intervene with support structures and to make the case for support structures. Just think of educational psychology and the use of support structures in schools, for instance. Mm. That's one of the roles. And there are a number of different specialisms in for psychology, and they work in a number of different settings. And again, this is based on my colleagues, my experience of how I understand my colleagues working in psychology. Not all psychologists are in a position to be able to provide long-term, careful, slow, weekly meetings, which is what a psychotherapist is trained to do. Not all psychologists can offer that. So that is one of the key differences between psychology and psychotherapy. The psychotherapist is trained to work long-term, maybe over many years, working regularly on a weekly, possibly more than weekly, basis with clients to work through carefully, slowly, gently, taking great care to safeguard the client through the issues that have brought them to therapy in the first place. Right. So whilst there are many commonalities, they're both about 150 years old, there are also key differences.
And there is a perception out there that, and I know what you're going to say, but I'll ask it anyway, there's a perception out there that you can do a weekend course and then stick a sign above your door saying that you are a counsellor, a psychotherapist. And I just wanted to find out, what's the reality?
So the Irish Council of Psychotherapy and the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy are the two biggest organisations that accredit and train counsellors and psychotherapists. So it is really important for any member of the public who's considering doing therapy, checking that the therapist is accredited. And they can do that by checking the therapist's name on their website, but also going to these larger registries, the Irish Council of Psychotherapy Registry and the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy.
Mm. But could anyone claim to be a psychotherapist?
Yes, currently that is the case. Without regulation, that is the case.
I'll come back to that in a second. Mary, if someone did want to train to be a psychotherapist, what is the pathway? How do you actually do it?
Well, I was thinking about that. I think a very good way is to undertake psychotherapy oneself initially. And I find more and more that a lot of the students have come to the training having had an experience and then wanting to train. So in the trainings that I work on, it is actually a bonus if one has done something of one's own work prior to that.
Yes.
So the pathway then is to apply to, well, obviously do one's research. One is drawn to particular kinds of psychotherapy, I think, and that's to do with our own makeup. And my background originally was in social work, which is actually what brought me to psychotherapy, apart from my own personal reasons, because I was working with children in care and with foster families. And what was really being stirred for me in doing that, I felt I needed a broader experience of myself in order to be able to deal with it.
Right. Is there a certain type of person who makes a good psychotherapist?
Well, I think the person who's done their own work, honestly.
On themselves,
because it's really without doing our own work, there's no such thing as psychotherapy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something that's not understood. On the trainings that we do, it is the most crucial part. And without doing that work, we cannot be psychotherapists. I mean, the trainings are very rigorous. The trainings I work on could be anything from 4 to 6 years.
Is there a psychotherapist for the psychotherapist? Is there a kind of continuing professional development that you can check in with someone?
Well, absolutely. But again, continual professional development. We don't want it to be something that people feel they have to do, you know, tick the box. I've done this course. I've done this weekend course. It's an ongoing process. And if one is working in this way with the unconscious, absolutely, we need to continue doing our own work.
Yeah.
And I'm all the students I teach, I'm sure they're fed up listening to me saying that. But without doing your own work, I think you're not going to be able to have the insight. Oh, why did I experience that? Why did that feeling come up for me when that person was saying X, Y or Z?
Sure.
And yeah, okay.
Psychotherapists are also closely supervised in their clinical work, in addition to doing their own work. And clinical supervision is a core capacity.
That's what I meant by, I suppose, continuous professional development.
Yes.
Is there supervision is probably the better word.
Yes. Yeah. Every psychotherapist brings their work to a clinical supervisor. And that protects the therapist, but most importantly, protects the client.
And is that so you can offload on what the client told you?
It is working through bringing cases to supervision that are really difficult to understand, that something may be arising for the client that needs to be talked through with someone who is outside of the therapeutic alliance.
Right, OK. Now, back to what we were talking about, a lack of regulation. Could you explain more? What's the situation right now?
So, CORU have proposed standards of regulation that we feel will under-regulate the profession of psychotherapy.
Not over-regulate it, which is usually people complain that there's an over-reliance in regulation. You reckon this would be an under?
This is the odd dilemma of what is happening for psychotherapy in Ireland. It is a very strange situation to be under-regulated because psychotherapists require mandatory personal therapy, an intensive psychotherapeutic experience, as Mary was speaking about, in order to be able to take on this highly responsible work.
So what's an example of under-regulation then?
Under-regulation would be an inadequately trained psychotherapist who hasn't done any personal therapy of their own, has not had the experience of close clinical supervision, which becomes part and parcel of the pattern of their work. If those two things are missing, in addition to other things that may be missing, we would argue that those psychotherapists would be inadequately trained.
Okay.
And would lead to potentially great dangers in terms of the client. Because what could happen is that an unreflective psychotherapist may become unaware of their feelings and patterns of behaviour of work that they're doing with the client. Clients are vulnerable and highly subject to influence. So it is really important that the psychotherapist is always aware of their own feelings, their own blind spots, their own tendency maybe towards over-identifying with a client and many other things that could lead to poor boundaries or weakened boundaries or loosened relationship between the professional psychotherapist and the client.
But Mary, at the moment it feels a bit like the Wild West. Would at least some regulation not be better than no regulation?
Well, we absolutely want regulation, and the bodies involved in psychotherapy have been asking for us for many, many years. Our problem is that we do not want our profession to be undermined by what is proposed, which is that psychotherapy will not be mandatory on some of the trainings which will be available. And also supervision will take a different focus to what it currently is. At the moment, it takes place in a group and individually. And the individual piece is very important because sometimes people can bring up issues that are personal to themselves in supervision, but with regard to their work.
Right, OK. Now, Belinda, we did hear from Claire O'Leary from CORU at the start of the podcast talking about these new standards. They would say that it's going to bring in a quality system.
Yes, and we would disagree. There is no alternative, just taking personal therapy as perhaps one of the more contentious issues. Mm-hmm. There is no alternative to the experience of an intensive psychotherapeutic experience in training, whether that's done individually, in a group, or it's a personal professional development process as is used in family therapy training. There is no alternative to that. That is an essential component of psychotherapy training to protect the client and to ensure safety, safe and good work.
Right. Well, here's where I struggle then, Mary, because if I'm someone who needs therapy, I'm still confused as to how do I check the credentials of a therapist, or how do I know this is going to be the right therapist for me?
Well, very often people will meet with the therapist first to decide if they think they can work with that person and the therapist vice versa. So there's that choice. But there is a list of all the therapists who are available on the ICP website, the Irish Council for Psychotherapy, and on the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy website as well. So that's one place to start. But what I find is often people, through word of mouth, will talk about their own experience personally. And it's one of the reasons I think we as psychotherapists feel so passionate about this issue, because we know the change that has been brought about in ourselves through undergoing the process.
Right.
And that really makes us believe in it. So if you want to look, you asked me earlier about the trainings, there's loads of trainings, both in public institutions as well as private. And I think it's important to say that because there are a number of universities where psychotherapy training is available as well. Mm. So it becomes, it's a cultural issue. It's not just about us seeking clients or people who we work with. I don't really like the word clients personally, but anyway, people who want to work with us. It's also about some understanding and awareness of what psychotherapy is in the culture at large. And I think there isn't a broad understanding of it. So you would be able then to find the person that is right for you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Belinda, it could also be the case that it's not the first person, the first psychotherapist you meet who might be right for you. You may have to go through a few.
It's just so important to...
It's so personal as well.
It's so personal. It's so important to find somebody you think you can work with. This is a potentially long-term relationship that you're building, trust, listening and talking. And you want to find somebody who's going to listen and talk to you in such a way that you don't feel that your suffering is because you're a bad person and that they're going to be able to work with you on that basis. Yeah. So it is a growing relationship of trust and safety.
Is there still time to change CORU's standards for counselling and psychotherapy?
Yes. So the Irish Council of Psychotherapy and the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy are asking the Minister of Health to intervene at this point to establish some kind of a pause or a moment in which some collaboration can take place between the professional bodies.
And if you were to have the Minister for Health in front of you, what would you say to her needs to change?
Would ask her to take into account the concerns of the professional organisations in relation to the standards that CORU published in July. Extensive work was done in the previous year and a half. Submissions from over 700 individuals and organisations were sent into CORU, the majority of which, based on the information that we have received from CORU, the majority of which were very clear about the importance of personal therapy, clinical supervision, minimum timeframes for trainings, and adequately supported placements. Those are the four key areas that we're asking the Minister to consider and to put these in place.
And Mary, when CORU published these standards, one of the things they wanted to do was to protect the public from unqualified practitioners and also have minimum training and clinical hours. You don't feel that that addresses those issues?
Well, I don't really, because I think minimum training really, unfortunately, may lead to a downplaying of what the importance of psychotherapy is. The word minimum, I mean, of course, people will go on afterwards to do other things. Hopefully, that is our hope, if that were the case. But it requires a longer training in order to experience the theory as well as everything else and be able to integrate it. Because I teach a lot, and one of the things I think is very important is when you're hearing about psychotherapy from a theoretical point of view and an educational point of view, it still stirs things for people. You think, oh gosh, is that me? You know, are they talking about someone like me? So you integrate the theory in a way when you're interrogating yourself that is not possible otherwise, and therefore overall those three, you know, the most important things, the theory, the supervision and personal work, and then of course practice, they're the things that lead to a rigorous formation. And I cannot tell you how rigorous it is. Anyone who's done the trainings will say, oh my God, you know, did I do the right trainings? But they are very, very rigorous. And at the end of it all, you come out thinking, yes, this is really where I want to place myself in life. And people establish their own reputations. You know, people will hear about the work that you do and will say, yes, that's a good person to go to. I found them a good person to go to.
Okay, let's go back to that interview with CORU and on that issue of personal therapy. Here's what she had to say about it.
Engagement in personal therapy is a really well-established and valued part of professional development within both counselling and psychotherapy. And I suppose as a regulator, our focus on the education is outcomes of the education. So in terms of ensuring the standards of proficiency are taught, developed and assessed. So education providers can still choose to include personal therapy in their education programmes if they so wish. You know, it's not the expectation that of CORU that we're saying, oh, it's prohibited. We're just not mandating it. And there could be other ways that the standards of proficiency are assessed and developed.
And what is the thinking behind it?
It's the framework that we've always worked to in CORU, that we would have, you know, your standard proficiency, as they say, so that's the knowledge, skills and competence that the graduate must demonstrate. And then your criteria are your quality system. So if I compare it to another profession, say social work, for example, we have, you know, I think 14 social work programmes in Ireland at the moment. And there are a wide variety of programmes. We have undergraduate programmes, postgraduate programmes. We have programmes that go from further education into higher education. We have apprenticeship pathways. So there's a real diversity diverse way that education providers can deliver the education programme. But of all of those programmes, they're always assuring at the end that the graduate has the knowledge, skills and competence. So again, it's not for us as a regulator to mandate to an education provider how they must design and deliver their programme. And I think it's also important to remember that along with our regulatory process focusing on the knowledge, skills and competence of the graduates, every education provider will also have its own academic quality assurance process, either within their institution or possibly through QQI or another statutory body. So it's very much making sure that our remit as a regulator is focused on where it should be and not with telling education providers how to design and deliver their education programmes.
And that's Coro's Claire O'Leary speaking to Claire McKenna on News Talks Alive and Kicking. You can hear that interview in full on the Go Loud player or at newstalk.com. We've also linked it to the show notes of today's podcast. Belinda, to play devil's advocate here, you've both spoken about psychotherapists needing to undergo, I suppose, personal therapy themselves. Some might say, why do you need to have gone through therapy yourself to be a good psychotherapist for others?
I guess what I heard in the interview, there is possibly a misunderstanding between the application or the analogy of other professions like social work versus psychotherapy. Psychotherapy has distinct professional capacities that need to be taken into account. So it does feel a little bit like a generic template is being applied to these distinct professions. And I'm not saying all the other professions are not distinct in their own right either. But the professional capacities around the ones that Mary has spoken about so well, around being the highly responsible work of working with someone's unconscious, someone's personal life, someone's history, and that the level of responsibility that is attached to that is really has to be taken into account. What worries me in what I heard was that there isn't possibly the allowance for operators to come into the education system and provide the absolute minimum standards. And for instance, that could include that your personal therapeutic process could be covered by journaling work or by a period of reflective practice. Now, we would not regard that as adequate to an intensive psychotherapeutic experience.
By journaling work, you mean you write down your own thoughts?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and there are many devices that are used, and I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong. They're all very useful and very appropriate in the setting and context in which they work, but they are not alternatives to an intensive psychotherapeutic experience, yeah. An immersion in one's own history, one's own background, one's own feelings with a trained professional, right, or a group.
Mary, people training as therapists, some would say the cost of mandatory therapy sessions can be very high. Coro say they did take that into account when drafting these new standards. Could that act as a barrier to people who might otherwise want to enter the profession, the fact that it's quite expensive to get your mandatory therapy sessions?
Yes, well, I think it could in some circumstances. Having said that, now that hopefully the psychotherapy in the way we construe psychotherapy will be regulated, there will be more opportunities for people to gain work in the health services, and it will be a career of some kind, which up until now it hasn't been in terms of the public bodies. You know, most people work in private practice. So I think there are ways around it. If people are passionate enough about it and really want to do it, they will find the money. I mean, people do all sorts of other work in order to pay for psychotherapy.
Belinda, final appeal from you to the Minister for Health. What would you like to see the Minister do at this juncture?
We would ask the Minister to intervene, to take on board the concerns which were articulated in the recent Oireachtas Health Committee submissions, and to be able to go to Coro and ask for a period of consultation, which would require some kind of a pause, a moment. Doesn't mean anything has to change, or doesn't mean any of the processes of course approval need to be interrupted, but that these concerns are taken on board and that she intervenes to do that.
Okay, well, Belinda Muller and Mary Cullen, thank you both very much for being here on News Talk Daily. That is it for the podcast. You can listen back on the Go Loud player or wherever you stream your content. Until the next time, from me, Shane Beattie, bye-bye.